WNST, Tassel of Baltimore. Baltimore Positive. I wish I had some crab cake tour dates to give you right now, but they're in flux. I'm working on about 8 of them between now and Christmas. They're all going to be brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We did have some winners. I did 2 last week. We were at Hollywood Casino on Sunday. Had a bunch of winners up there. Had a really good time and a victory for the Ravens as well. Our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, they will install them and make it happen for you. 0% financing. You buy 2, you get 2 free. That's going on all month long, October, as well as the newest sponsor we have, which is Jiffy Lube MultiCare. I think my wife is going to be the one that takes the car over to Merritt Boulevard here this week because the little orange light came on last Friday as I was driving to Drug City for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour with George Shulin and my son Barry Aparicio and Chuck Jacobs. We had some old fashions. We drank. We talked. We talked science, math, STEM, stuff that I'm not good at, stuff that I don't understand, physics, biology. I'm just trying to get through horticulture at this point. As I wear my Curio shirt, by the way, Wendy Braunfein will be on this week discussing the education of cannabis as well. This guy's going to discuss, I mean, he does roofing. He doesn't do anything sexy like sports radio or cannabis or, you know, anything fun like that. He does roofs. It's not sexy, but it is when I have the Cole roofing mug and my Royal Farms coffee. Bill Cole, where the hell have you been? People are wondering about us. People are talking on the internet. They're like, is Nestor hanging out with the other Bill Cole? Like, what happened to Bill Cole? He's been on, like, you skipped the playoffs. I haven't had you on since the football season started. Where have you been?
There is a percentage of the population that thinks roofing is sexy, so I don't want to just totally exclude
them. Well, roofers are sexy.
This.
I didn't say that. The industry, though, however, is...
And I also want to tell you, because you would appreciate this, you reminded me of the crab cake. I had a Maine crab cake.
Then it could not have been any good. Was it made of lobster?
Well, it was no. It was crab, but it was like far enough away from someone not attempting to make a Maryland crab cake that I was like, okay, I'll try someone else.
So what did they do? Put
crab.
Some lemon in it or some sage what did they do with it?
They didn't do anything. It was a very bland crab. Little bit of filler, you know.
You're reporting to me that you got a crab cake somewhere other than Maryland. It sucked. And this is news?
No, it was in Vermont, and it didn't suck.
No, it was in Vermont. They don't have water there.
I understand. That's why I had to
doing?
Do it. Well, it was like that was the whole point. It
Eat
was like,
bison
oh,
when you're in Vermont. You know what? Eat ice cream when you're in Vermont. They make good ice cream there, you
it
know?
It was
some maple syrup. Get some pancakes.
It was a joke. I was with a bunch of other people. It was on the menu. They were making the jokes about Maryland.
Were you just not hungry?
So I was like, oh,
did you
I'll get
not
it.
Want to eat?
Just tell you. No, it was very very pleasant. It just wasn't a Maryland crab cake. They weren't claiming it to be either. So they were smart enough to do that, right? That they weren't pretending to be a Maryland.
So they didn't do what that restaurant down in South Carolina did to Damien Fadley's, which is put a Fadley's crab cake on their menu when the Fadley's people sat down.
Right. Yeah. No.
Where have you been? I mean, like, I loved it. Listen, we could talk about – we're going to talk about AI at some point. We're going to talk about football season, London, travel. You've been all these places, but – you sort of missed the baseball playoffs, right? I mean, like, we didn't
talk about
it at all.
Yeah, no, I certainly did not get a chance to talk to you about it. I think I've been pretty consistent about being honest about my sort of lack of engagement with the Orioles. And even though they're winning and I'm surrounded by like diehards and they kind of keep
your
me
kids
impressed.
Don't care about it. Is that part of the problem?
Well, my kids, that I'm so glad you brought that up. That just reminds me how terrible of a father I am. I would say the Orioles became relevant to them about, at this point, it might be like 6 weeks ago. You know, they like figured out who they were, and not that they didn't know, but yeah, everybody at
it
school
was sort of an August awakening,
it and,
right? It was a summer thing, and then all of a sudden they really are in first place. They're really, I mean, I noticed they were good in May, April, right? Like we're here, but we're in on the party. And I think the saddest part for me, Bill, and like seeing this, and I'm just being honest, if John Angelos were sitting here, he'd be wildly offended, as would TJ Brightman and Greg Bader, who's been running the place for 25 years and, you know, doesn't have time to meet anybody. You haven't met any of these people, or if you have, they haven't done a great job of selling you. But dude, I went down there for that Tampa game that was the biggest game they've played, and there were 25,000 people there, and tickets were $6. And then I see in Philadelphia this week, It's $300 to get into the ALDS last week. And then it's a football game and it's a party. And everybody that goes to the Eagles games goes to the Phillies games. And they don't mind spending $200 or $300 for playoff tickets. You know, the Orioles have a long way to go here. I mean, we could talk about them on the field all day long, but
right.
And this is, it's this kind of talk that makes John Angelos go up to New York and say, that market can't support baseball the way you think it can. It's not 1966 anymore. We just won 101 games, and I can't. Bill Cole's not giving me $800 grand for a skybox. He's not. Neither's any of our clients.
The other thing I would say that only makes it that much more concerning is once you do lean in a little bit and you look at the roster, like, you'd be hard pressed to find a better group of guys who seem to be, you know, genuinely like 23 and just having the time of their life playing baseball and getting paid and winning. And you know what I mean? Like, they're just a fun group to root for. So you put on top, you know, it's not even like some resistance that could be created around buying a bunch of free agents or, you know, getting.
But
like,
if you bought six games next year and took your kids and your family down there, by the end of the summer, would they be into Gunnar Henderson? Would they be into Adley Rutschman? Would they say, Dad, give me a lacrosse ball, soccer ball, whatever their thing is? And I've been trying to pimp the Orioles brand for 32 years. They think I hate them. They think I'm out to get them. I saw it all come to life last Tuesday when I flew to Arlington. They mistreated Luke. They really mistreated me. Major League Baseball and the Rangers were in on it. And I'm thinking to myself, this isn't about the old man anymore. This is about John. And this is about them lying about a lease and making the governor lie. And now the governor has to get in front of me in a couple of weeks and sit and tell me that there's a deal when there's not a deal. And you know what somebody told me? I haven't said this on the air, Bill. I'm going to say this because we're talking a little baseball and we'll get to some serious issues.
I want to hear more that there's not actually a lease.
Yeah, like, well, that's a fact. I mean, there's not really a lease. I mean, there's like...
Well, they just came to
No. John decided to put up on the scoreboard that he was never moving the team until the Rockets' red glare. There's no lease. I mean, when the lease is signed, they'll have us all down in Annapolis and I'll get to see the ink on the deal, right? So here's what a friend
That's
of mine,
bizarre.
A friend of mine on the inside, when all of this went down, because they announced that there was a lease when there's not, right?
I was there. I was at that. That was my, what I was trying to get to earlier was that I'm such a bad fit. That was my one game that I went to all year was the AL East clinching game where TV did a great job because everyone I talked to made it sound like the place was rocking. There was no one in the upper deck. Like, you're winning, you're literally clinching the AL East. And yes, the
tickets are $8.
The 15,000 people that were there, yeah, we were loud as hell, and everybody was excited and having a great time. But you couldn't draw 40.
I went the night before with my wife, and she wore Red Sox stuff because they needed to beat Tampa for us to get in that night, and they didn't. They were losing 5-0 the third inning or whatever. But we went down on I guess it was the Wednesday night. You know, I'm going back 3 weeks now, right? Yeah, yeah. But we went down that night, and there was nobody there. And we paid $6 for tickets and, you know, $8 or whatever it was. And like,
I mean, it was a great time. It was everything that you like remember it. And, you know, look, I love the pace of play. The extra inning thing is stupid. I think they'll get rid of that. They know that's stupid. That's why they don't have it in the playoffs. So, you know,
the guy on second base, they're not going to get rid of that. That's the way they get the games over quicker.
That's the method
to not have 15 inning games.
Yeah, but 15 inning games.
15 inning games eat up your bullpen. Everybody hates it, and everybody wants to go home at 11:30 at night.
Fans, like, yeah, no, you're right. No one wants to be there. But the point is that that's the story the whole next day that people talk about, and that's when the crazy stuff happens. Like, the left fielder needs to pitch next inning because we're out of pitch. Like, that's drama that makes people love the game. Anyway. I want to hear.
Oh, you're having a great baseball argument with me. I don't mind that. I did that for a living here for 26 years, Bill.
I just, you know, whatever.
The bottom line is they're not a sick franchise, but they're a distressed franchise, and they need more Bills and Nesters to go. And I flew to Texas last week and they're still banning me. And I'm still with an FCC license with 100,000 followers that every day I say, they treat me like garbage. Right. They really do. And I don't treat them like garbage. I chase them around and talk about them like a journalist, like a fan, like a citizen, like a responsible radio station owner that reports to the community, that writes about the team. My last name's Aparicio. I'm wearing orange and black. I have a closet full of Orioles stuff, but I won't give them money. I mean, real money. Like, I can't advocate that. And I can't say, oh, things have changed. You know what's changed? They hired a baseball guy who knows what he's doing. And they were so awful for so long that they've amassed this wealth of young players, and they actually have a system now to train them. They have fixed the baseball operation, but as Luke and I have talked about, and Luke doesn't love talking about this because it involves money and management and ownership and lease. Luke's not interested in that. Luke's interested in the game, right? So for me, this is really the time where Luke and I come to heads and say, this is where Elias has to go down the hallway and get real money from John Angelos.
Yeah, like, but it's not even, I don't, it's really, I'm looking at your background right now, and I'm here to tell you that, unfortunately, and you can't, I'm pointing, but I guess you can't really see that, can you?
What are you pointing at?
At your, in your background, the spur of 395 that runs between the two stadiums. So if that road wasn't there, there would be a ginormous mixed-use, retail.
Well, we're all familiar with that in Philadelphia. I mean, just go up to that Xfinity Live, plop that down, right? They're going to plop down a giant sports bar with some something, with some Yard Barker, Yard Roadhouse beer and...
Oh, I would think it's more than that. It's going to be condos and retail and, yeah, maybe another casino or maybe just a giant bar or whatever. But filling in between where those parking lots are, coming over here right behind your, that would be your right shoulder, is the Richmond Fed building, right? That needs to go. That's going to be a giant parking garage.
Federal Reserve, you're saying?
Yep.
In the neighborhood that I lived in at the top of Lee Street. Yes. Across from the convention center. Yes.
On the other side of you is the convention center, right? Like we can bring that across Conway there and where the Richmond Fed building was and expand that way. Like, in order for all this stuff to really work, they
you need a new traffic pattern, right?
Their plan is very much to eat up and consume the area around. I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I don't know what their plans are for what's the housing neighborhood on the other side of Russell
Otterbein.
Street? No, other side. Go on the other side of the stadium, other side of Russell
Fort
Street.
Fort Pigtown?
Yeah, but it's to the south of Pigtown. Hold on. It has a name. Camden. It might be Camden.
Okay. You're talking about Staples is, kind of, sort of?
Yeah, but north of that. So closer really to, like, across the street.
So to Pickles. Where the Sitco station was, right? The Arco station, whatever that was, right? Mobile station, whatever it is.
All that neighborhood back in there where, like, Babe Ruth birthplace and all that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I call it Camden, but I'm not sure what it is. You know, like the you know, somebody's trying to figure out whether they can eminent domain that entire corner, get rid of all those houses, and put the condo mixed use building on that side.
They have condo
mixed
use right on the other end already. The Zenith, the Zephyr, whatever the hell that thing is, and like. I mean, we have plenty of availability for people who want to live downtown, right? I mean, I had a condo I couldn't give away for years.
It's not about that.
In a building that's half, you know, like.
It's not about that. It's about John Angelos and Steve Bisciotti
getting richer.
Being able to make their assets more valuable.
Right.
Sure. I don't think John owns the Zenith, right? Like, that's nice.
Well, I mean, his old man always wanted the land that was the Hilton, right? And his old man always wanted to usurp what became Sports Legends in the Jeppy Museum. And he did everything he could do to put all these people out of business, Bill. I mean, I've talked about this for 30 years. He did everything he could do to get rid of Jeppy's, get rid of Sports Legends. And now it's just an empty building. And he did everything he could do to shut down the courtyard on the warehouse. Janet Marie, Marty Conway. I had Charles Steinberg on last month. I had Rick Vaughn on last month. These are all people that were had offices in the warehouse the day that the Orioles came to life in April of 92 downtown. They were going to have a Roost Chris in the fifth floor, right? There was going to be a Camden Club. There was going to be a membership. They were going to serve Boog's Barbecue 365 days a year on a courtyard where you would want to bring your kids down and stroll for lunch and run the bases in March, because that's what the idea, that's what the concept was. So everything you're pitching me is something that was delivered to the Angelos family in 1994, and the old man systematically did everything he could do to destroy it. I mean, I've witnessed it. I've been on the air every day for 32 years. Everything you're talking about, we're going to breathe life into that area. That's what the $300 million was supposed to do in 1992.
Yeah, but now it's like...
You know what took the life out of it? Shitty baseball. That's what took the life out of it. Awful baseball. 50,000 Yankees fans coming down 10 times a year. 50,000 Red Sox fans coming down 10 times a year. And they would say crime, 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 Freddie Gray. That, you know, they would say all of that. But that's not the truth. I lived downtown for 20 years during all of it. The truth is the team was horrible. The owner was a horrible human, and it chased everyone. And now we're trying to figure out why there's 20,000 people there on a clinch night when tickets are $8, and how 90 miles away, the Phillies, who are not nothing compared to the Orioles as a brand, like, right? I mean, the Phillies are, you know, they've lost more than they've won. The Orioles were something here, something that we built a stadium for them and built the whole city around it. Philadelphia never felt that way about the Phillies or the Flyers or the Sixers or the Eagles, but it's a sports town and people will spend $300 to go to the games. The passion for the team, Bill, has to come back. I mean, at the end of the day, for it to be successful, you talk mixed use this and gambling that, people need to want to come down and love the team. Your daughters need to love Gunnar Henderson, or somebody's daughters need to love Gunnar Henderson.
All right. Just
and be
so
willing
you know.
To pay for it. Be willing to pay for it so Gunnar Henderson can make $48 million a year, because that's what it's going to take.
So, number one, and I will just set this to the side for a second. I agree with you on the bad baseball part, but the Ravens pretty much have done nothing but win, and they're literally attached to the same parking lot. So where's the development that's come from their winning? They have similar problems, right?
They have worse problems. Their tickets are $10.
Right. I mean, you want to go to the Lions game
this week? Here's the Nestor advice. Right. Wait until 12:15 on Sunday. Tickets will be somewhere between $15 and $30. Might be $10 if the weather gets real bad, because it's supposed to be in the 50s, right? I mean, like low 50s. That chases everybody. And Dennis said this, Ravens PSLs are worthless. And in Philadelphia, their PSLs are worth 10 or 15 grand.
So, okay. So now good transition to Philly. Here's the part that we don't have a fair appreciation for. In the city of Baltimore, do you know how many people there are?
400,000.
Yeah, maybe 600,000, whatever. It's between 400 and 600. In the Baltimore Metro, do you know how many people?
1.4 million.
Call it 2.8, close to 3 million, right?
Oh, but okay, you're counting
city and five surrounding counties. People that were within 45 minutes.
We have 3 million people in the city and five counties. We really do.
Yep, people that will drive.
I mean, Mueller always tell me there's 800,000 people in Baltimore County, right? Like, I mean, it's like, there's a lot of people here, right?
Okay. Do you know how many are in the city of Philadelphia?
Well, Philly's a lot bigger than us. I mean, I understand that. Well, and then you get to count Jersey and right.
Hold on. 1.6 million people in the city of Philadelphia. So 4x the people living in the city of Philadelphia. In the Philadelphia Metro, 6.1 million. Right,
so you're going up to Bucks County. I understand what you're saying.
They are easily that, but you want to know why Philly's, you know, tickets are worth $300. You're drawing from 6 million people. You're drawing from twice as many people, right? Twice as many people in, you know, as you go north, the standard of living, I'm sorry, the cost of living goes up,
Well,
right?
Bill, this
So,
all so speaks to Washington's money supporting the Orioles, right? I mean, let's go back to the original sin here, which is Peter didn't just allow the Washington thing to happen. He never wanted it to happen. His mismanagement led to Washington really demanding its own team and having
I
Major
want to
League
be.
Baseball have it calling for that. I'm not sure that that was really inevitable had Peter not mismanaged the franchise between 08 and let's say 98 and 04. I mean, I was on the air for all of this, and Peter sat down with me and talked to me about this issue and what it would do. His prescient thought is it will destroy both franchises. That's in his words. Just
Right.
like the Bay Area, Oakland, San Francisco, they can't have two. And that's turning out to be prescient too, especially when one team has all the riches and the other team doesn't have any of that. But the riches in the Baltimore-Washington deal is that Washington has Washington money and federal money to draw from, and Baltimore has been gutted of the banking industry. A lot of industry here, and who is buying those skyboxes? Who is buying those club seats at a premium price? Who's buying those box seats at a premium price? Who's buying sponsorships at a premium price? And not just buying them. I mean, I'll go get a ticket for $10. That's
Okay.
who the Orioles are living on, is people buying $10 tickets. And when I go out there and I walk around and I look around, I'm like, where's the money that's going to support this? And listen, John's going to cry poor when he's got plenty of money, plenty of national television revenue and media revenue and revenue sharing that
He
he can afford Gunnar Henderson. He's going to play this game. He's going to bullshit you because that's who he is. But
No, but
the fact that they can't have a $90 or $110 million payroll, they can. They can, and they haven't in years. But part of it is he's going to cry poverty because that night in the upper deck, and he's going to say, "Where is the money?" And I'm going to ask you, "Where is the money?" Because when I was a kid and Camden Yards open, I would go down there. You would see all sorts of Northrop Grumman, but you'd see Crown Gasoline, First National Bank, Provident Bank, First Bank, 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 hospital, 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 local business, strong local business. Like,
I agree.
I'm not seeing that, Bill.
I
I'm seeing
agree.
guys like you get on a junket with Accelerant and go out and get a skybox for 10 cents or trade it out for a night, deal with the $18 beers and all that, and go home. But you're not leaving a $500,000 behind. And I don't know what the recruitment is when you and significant people who buy things and have money and have businesses get together with them. The TJ Brightman walks out with real sales, not a 13-game package for you and your wife. You give them 1,200 bucks and you go down there a little bit and buy some popcorn. I'm telling you, man, I travel.
Right.
I see the money. I was down in Texas. I see the oil money down there. I see the people that are going down there. I see the people that are buying skyboxes. And
Right.
I am worried. I'm worried about the whole,
I
I'm
get
worried
it.
about all
I
of it,
get
the
it.
totality of all of it, and our citizens giving them $1.2 billion and saying, we're going to build a casino and have a place for people to live, and y'all are going to come down here. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know
They
that.
Here's kind of how my thought process on all that has evolved. So major league sports teams are like benefits that you give your employees, right? Like you want to be a real city, you better have a major league sports team, right? Or you're not a real city.
Quality of
So
life
yeah, so it's a benefit that goes with the package of living in this area.
and a status.
Yeah, of course.
Status,
So
yes.
the issue is, this is one conceivable perspective, right? Not to necessarily take John's side on this because I don't want to do that. But when the city and the area around does not do the job of growing and bringing business in and bringing people in, then his added benefit to the city suffers. So when you
Dude, I just went
don't.
down to Arlington last week and saw what they built down there. They have two giant baseball stadiums in the middle of nothing, in the middle of literally Glen Burnie. Like,
I don't
I'm
know
not trying
enough.
to offend
I don't
Glen
know.
Burnie,
No,
but
no,
what
no.
they've done is
I don't know
I
enough
mean,
about that market
but
to
it's
be able
not a
to
downtown
compare.
walkable. There's nothing about it from a civic standpoint that says community in the way that San Diego. Cincinnati, Atlanta, Chicago on the north side, with the difference between the Cubs neighborhood and the White Sox neighborhood is 9 miles. Go see it. You know, the White Sox have a stadium, the crappy stadium at the edge of a freeway in a troubled neighborhood. The Cubs have taken all of this money and built a wonderland, you know, in a neighborhood. So I hear you. I'll take John's side on that. The next baseball owner should expect something that's representative so that they can compete with what's going on everywhere else in their industry. I agree with that, Bill, 100%. John is speaking, spitting truth in that way. The right. question is whether he's the wisdom guy and he's the guy at the front of the operation to be the visionary to lead this, because he's not. He's
well,
not.
The issue was that neither party in that argument could really say anything to the other one. Like, you know, everything John wants to say about the city and public safety, or, you know, not attracting business or not growing business or not doing big projects or not pulling people in, that's all true. And then they're all just looking back and say, yeah, John, and you have totally sucked. So forever. So like,
yeah, be a leader. If you're going to be a leader, be a leader. How about you live here? How about that, Steve Bisciotti? And you know, you're the bill. We're giving guys that don't even hang out here, that aren't even seen here ever in front of real people, we're giving them all this money, and then they send out people like Chad Steele and Sashi Brown and Greg Bader.
That's the point. Why don't they hang out here? Why isn't this a draw? What are the real problems? Like why can't we have literally the bones, like you hear people talk about this all the time. We have the bones of one of the greatest cities in America, right? Like our proximity to other population centers, our transit, the airplanes, the trains, the water. I mean,
the mountains, the beaches, all that.
We literally have every, you can check every box that you want to check. So what is the problem, and why can't we recruit business? Why can't we build business here? There's ecosystem stuff. There's lots of stuff there. And I mean,
well, every part of what you do, and this is the part I love having you on, Bill Cole's here from Cole Roofing. Dude, you're really one of the guys. You were in Minnesota last week with a local contingent trying to learn things. You've been to Detroit. You travel places. You go to Vegas every year. I've been to part of these things in Mako and leadership. And this is one of the reasons you and I got together and concocted a concept of running for mayor for me or whatever. It's really about bringing people together. Like, it really is. It's a consortium of community people. And that's what the Greater Baltimore Committee is about. Listen, I had Beth Rheingold on this week from a Greater Baltimore Chamber of Commerce. We talked about Nancy Afford over in Towson and what a Chamber of Commerce does. You know, I like trying to bring business leaders together. That's how Camden Yards got done. Camden Yards got done because we screwed up the Colts. Schaefer brought people together, and he pissed people off, and he did things maybe he shouldn't have done, quite frankly, and sort of, you know, pushing things through the way politicians could or should in regard to telling Jack Kent Cook you're not getting roads built into your stadium in Laurel, right? So that Camden Yards could happen. And all it's done is created wealth for a family that has given very little back, and it's take. And now they're not even signing the lease. So, and they're winning. And to your point, people aren't really going. And I keep saying, where's the money? And you say to me, well, we don't have any people. We barely have any money. But you know, if we brought people together, we were good enough to steal a football team, build a baseball stadium, build a football stadium. Bill, we're not in a position to be able to do that right now from a leadership standpoint. And I talked to you about that. We don't have the strength. I mean, we have the strength to write a check to keep these guys here. But if we had to go recruit, I mean, that would be a very difficult thing to do. And we're rebuilding Harbor Place. The CFG Bank Arena would be a great example of something that did come to us. And I'm going to see John Mayer on Friday night. I wouldn't be doing that if we were still talking about the Royal Farms Arena or the First Mariner Arena, right?
I definitely not. I totally take a skeptic viewpoint first always. So I was fairly skeptical about the CFG Arena. And I'm here to tell you I was wrong. It is a gem, and it is going to have, you know, decades of impact right? Like, it is a big deal.
It brings me downtown every
I
couple of
can't,
weeks,
yes,
and I
I
park
can't.
my car and I make a night of it. I've been down there for Queen. I've been, I
And it's made in a way that it's not going to lose its luster, right? It isn't great because they put a coat of paint on it. It's great because it functionally works for the bands to get in, play a show, get out really cost effectively. And it's between major metropolitan areas that they want to play anyway, right? So the realness of it is going to be sustainable. You brought up Minnesota, right? Here's the thing. Fortune 500 companies headquartered in and around Minneapolis, right? Target, UnitedHealth Group, General Mills, US Bancorp, Xcel Energy, CHS, Best Buy, Eco, like they have 15 Fortune 500 companies that are headquartered in and around there. Everyone says, "Oh, how do you do that? How do you do that? What do you do for them?" They all I shouldn't say all. The story is they started there and they grew into these giant companies.
And you're wearing an Under Armour logo here on
Right.
your
What
chest, right?
is Baltimore doing? What is Baltimore doing to support young companies, middle market companies, and help them grow into giant companies? Like, how are we bringing the talent in, right? I mean, how can we not have talent? You're telling me that Hopkins, Loyola, UMBC, College Park, UB,
Hop and Morgan, keep going.
Coppin, Morgan, thank you, all of those. You're telling me that we don't have some sort of dense group there that
And
would
every time I go
people
over to
would want to
Towson or I
attract
go to
them?
Coppin,
Yeah,
there are
Towson,
kids
I
from
forgot
other
even Towson.
places. These are
Goucher, I forgot them all. Yeah.
Hood College out in front. Like they bring kids from New Jersey, Connecticut, Kentucky, wherever they come here. And how do you keep them? How do you take the
You have
brightest
to give them
minds that come to
jobs.
Hopkins from all over the world and say, make a life in Baltimore, make a life here?
You give them a job and a place that they want to live, right? So we're working on that stuff. But you have to, like, it, nothing happens overnight, but I do believe that there are leaders in the business community who understand this. I believe that for 20 years, maybe longer, I don't know, they feel like they tried and it was met with corruption and resistance and, lots of stuff where they just finally throw their hands up and they're like, and they walk away. And if you
I've met
go
a
to
lot
these
of those
other
people,
places,
Bill. I have,
yeah,
right?
if you go to these other places,
Nobody talks about leaving Minnesota, right?
the stories are never about this amazing governmental leader. Like, the story may become about that because they end up striking lightning and there's this great governmental leader who steps in and then just pours rocket fuel all over the
The way
good
we
stuff
talk about
that's happening
Schaefer,
there.
because Schaefer made things
Sure.
happen here. Yeah. I mean, for better or worse, and you know.
But in every case, it is a highly functional business system, right? That is producing talent, that is producing capital, making investments locally, knocking down barriers for companies to be able to grow, and that those are the seeds that ultimately blossom into these plants. And then they buy the skybox, right?
Right.
And they start buying the beers. And now all of a sudden, this benefit that you have in the form of a professional baseball team is actually providing
But there's
value to
also a
your
pride
residents and your
involved in all of that too, that the Orioles have lacked here, that the Ravens have, right? But the Orioles have lacked to some
well,
degree during our lifetime. One of the
the
reasons you
reason
don't
we
go and your daughters
survive.
don't go is, it just doesn't matter enough to you.
But the reason we survive is because in our town we are taught, we grow, I don't know if it's in the water or what, but like civic pride is a real thing. Like, Many of our people are currently embarrassed or disappointed or don't want to admit it because of public safety and some of the, the black eyes that we've taken. But reality is, like, you can
Minnesota
find
had
the,
George Floyd too, dude. So, like,
I,
right?
that's what I mean.
Right.
100%. Like, there, that's the reason why we were there, was like, they have had their plenty of challenges, and how are they recovering, and where do they go from here? And we learned a lot about it. I mean, it's
Well, you can't put your head in the sand, and that's what's beautiful about you, and I think that's what's
a
beautiful about the concept
huge
of Baltimore
lift.
Positive, is we're talking about it at least. I mean, that's the first step, right? And trying to
Well, yeah,
identify. We know what the
but
problem is, trying to identify solutions and the people and the resources to solve those problems. Resources meaning money and people, all sorts of and people working together.
yeah.
Whether it's the judicial system and whether it's the government and whether it's jobs and education and it's public safety. It's people working together. It's a lot of people working together. There's no one straw stirring the drink here. And it's certainly not John Angelos or Steve Bisciotti, I guess is my point. And that's the
So,
unfortunate part for me with sports is that you and I are here stepping up. Where's the step up for what they've been given? And this is the time to step up. It really is. Not just to win games, but to move forward and say, this isn't Peter Angelos's team anymore, and it clearly they have no ability to do that. They really don't.
I agree with you. I think my frustration and maybe some of the disenfranchising of people comes from, we probably don't talk about all this enough, but we have to get past the point of talking about it and try stuff. Like, we have to actually do stuff.
Well, that's like the Harvard
And
Place thing, right? That's a whole segment that I can have, when I have the developer on. I hope to get him on some point here for a crab cake tour. But like with Bramble, right? So
yeah,
whatever he does, it's going
but
to be controversial. If he builds houses, he builds
right.
business, he makes it a park, like
So
whatever it is, but it needs to be discussed, right?
why is it, yeah, well, sure, but hurry the hell up because it's going to take 15 years to drop something there. And at the end of that 15 years, if you're wrong, which people need to be okay with making mistakes, right? But if it takes you 15 years to make a mistake, then that means we have to wait another 15 years to correct it. And that's whole people's lifetimes. You know what I mean? So, no, get in there, do something now, get something going, find out whether it's right, find out whether it works, add on, knock down, redo. Like, we have to, we don't, this is not just a Baltimore statement. This is a societal statement, right? Like, good God, it takes forever to do anything around here. And that's just the fragmentation of the communication. It's so hard. You want to get everyone to have a seat at the table, to give their two cents, right? To feel engaged, to buy into the plan, to help us make it better.
To
You
wear
want all
Baltimore on
that.
their chest, like literally, right?
But it's so hard that it ends up taking 2 years, then another 2 years to get down the road to some kind of design. You know, like, it
Hey,
just
I'll say
is.
this, the CFG Bank Arena thing, that went from a headline to a concept to hear the Eagles and Bruce Springsteen pretty quickly.
It did. Why is that?
Because
Well,
money
one,
came in and people who knew what they were
right.
doing did it.
And one other part of that is that a lot of that got to go on, I think, while we were all dealing with COVID. So it was a little bit, I'm not, that actually took longer than I think we realized, but yeah, I mean,
Felt quick.
again, private enterprise pushes the ball. Agreed. Sure.
All right, good enough. Bill Cole's here, Cole Roofing, Gordy Energy. I think I'm done arguing with him. We're going to sit down, watch the Ravens play here in the next couple months and try to figure
Were we
out the Orioles
arguing?
offseason. Tell everybody what you
Well,
do in the roofing space and in the solar space because I can get you going on solar and we can talk to the sun.
yeah, I mean, all of these things that we're talking about, like, when we build whatever they are, I want to put a roof on it. Right? Like, that's like a healthy Baltimore Metro, Anne Arundel County, Howard County, Montgomery County, Prince George's County, DC, what, like, whatever. That when those geographical areas are healthy and prospering, people ask us to take care of their roofs, and that's just what we want to do. And
I got to apologize to you for outing you a couple weeks ago and saying that you wanted to put a roof on both stadiums to make them enclosed. I thought that was kind of funny. And I thought it was even funnier that I went down to Texas and it was 75 degrees at game time. It was perfectly beautiful. And they closed the roof.
And they closed the roof, yeah.
Well, and I'm thinking to myself, what does the weather need to be in order for you to have the roof open? It was almost like an ad for Cole Roofing is what it was like, you know? Yeah. The other day, by the way, the Chargers played the Cowboys the other night in L.A. Yeah. I've been in that stadium. I went there for the Super Bowl. Maybe it was all the cannabis floating around in the air in the upper deck at that game. But I didn't even realize it had a roof. Like the day I was there, it was like sort of, oh, it's Los Angeles.
I think it has a roof.
And I looked, it was 78 degrees in L.A. on. So I said, it must be raining. And you know, my wife said, she's like, they closed it for the smog.
Right. I assumed that it has a roof because that is actually an interplanetary spaceship that at some point is just.
No, it has a roof because some guy like you told him it needed one.
Maybe.
Well, in Dallas, it's hottest. I mean, the first comfortable game I've ever sat in Dallas for a baseball game. All right, Bill Cole's here, Cole Roofing, Gordian Energy. You can find him. You can usually find him on my coffee cup, usually filled with Royal Farms Kona blend. I'm a Kona, sometimes Jamaican Blue Mountain, but mainly a Kona guy. And sometimes I like a dark blend as well. We appreciate them pouring that as well as some fried chicken. Dude, a crab cake tour sometime soon. Get you out.
Yeah, hey. Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. That'll be
People
fun.
We're talking about you and me not getting together for a month. They were worried that, you know, maybe Nestor and Bill are. So we're still good. That's good. Still here to argue. We'll try to do it weekly. We schedule them weekly now that the baseball thing's over with. Maybe we can calm down and get it done. We're going to be getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road with our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll be giving these away. Our friends at Window Nation, 86690Nation, as well as Jiffy Lube Multi-Care. I want to give a big appreciation to our friends at Curia because it's people like Bill Cole that have been with us for many, many years. One-time intern here in the late 90s. We've made it 25 years. I have been a little remiss on my 25 stories of glory because I've been so baked into writing columnists and doing all this other stuff with Luke and getting on the road. We will begin the countdown even further beginning this week before we get to Halloween, I promise. Still our 25th year. After 25 years, I can take my time bragging about ourselves. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore, good stuff and positive.